As John comes up, I'm going to ask you to please turn to Matthew chapter 1. John's going to read for us chapter 1, verses 18 to 25.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with the child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will be save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until he gave birth a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you. Thank you so much. So this morning, we want to look at Joseph. We want to look at a man who often we see as a silent partner in the Nativity. We are told that he was present in most of the story. And yet, if you are part of a living Nativity scene or a reenactment of the original First Christmas, and you are given the role of Joseph, I'm telling you right now, it's probably a non-speaking role. It is likely that you will have no lines. All you will do is walk and stand. Even the Joseph that we have in our manger scene, look at, he's missing an arm. And no one cares, really. Does anyone care that he's made? He doesn't need to have an arm. It's actually in the manger. And if I had known this a couple days ago, maybe I would have super glued it. But
it's very sad.
Janine said it's very sad. Poor Joseph. But if we read Matthew chapter 1, we know that Joseph's role in the incarnation is much more than what we would account for in our Christmas pageants. He is certainly part of our composite gathering of figurines. More significant, though, than the donkey. At least we know that Joseph traveled with Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem. We aren't sure about the donkey. We assume Mary rode on a donkey, but nowhere in the scriptures does it say that. Poor Joseph. Rarely accounted for. Now, as we look at Matthew chapter 1, we have to understand that this encounter with an angel, and it is likely Gabriel again, takes place 3 or 4 months after Mary's encounter. Last week we talked about Mary and how she was visited by an angel. And then the scriptures declare that as soon as she hears this, she almost immediately goes to where Elizabeth is. And she stays with Elizabeth from Elizabeth's 6 months. She stays with Elizabeth for 3 months. And while we are not told, we assume, we can assume, that she likely saw and assisted in the birth of John the Baptist. She likely held the baby John before she left. Again, we can't be sure, but we can speculate. She then returns to Nazareth. And this is where we begin Matthew 1, verse 18. This is how the birth, and literally what it says in the scriptures in the original language, this is how the beginning of Jesus Christ came to be. This is the genesis of Jesus, literally. This is how we came to understand who Jesus is. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph was a righteous man, her husband was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. As we begin to look at this passage, we understand that this was a time for a husband's deliberation. And I want to focus for a moment on verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, we as a church, and you as an individual believer, ought to hold that all scripture is God-breathed, all scripture is inspired, all scripture is given through the Holy Spirit. And so as we read this passage, I do not want you to think that this is Matthew's editorial comment about the character of Joseph. I want you to think that this is an important detail that the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew to write. Not that Joseph was considered a righteous man, but Joseph being a righteous man and not wanting to expose her, decided to divorce her quietly. Joseph is a righteous man. He is committed from the perspective of the heavenly host, from the perspective of the words of the Holy Spirit. He is committed to doing what is right. He was committed to keeping God's word. And while we may think that what Joseph is considering is unkind, because this is a poor girl, we have to understand that he is conflicted. Mary, his betrothed, is found to be pregnant. She might have begun showing. If this is 3 or 4 months into her pregnancy, she is likely showing. She might have told Joseph about this angelic visit when she returned to Nazareth. We're not sure how he knew, but he definitely knew. But Mary's child, Mary, Joseph's betrothed, his engaged, his all but married partner, is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And as incredible as that might be, you have to put yourself into Joseph's position. He wants to do the right thing. And honestly, what is the right thing? Is the right thing to do what the law says? That Jewish custom was, at the very least, if your spouse committed adultery, then you were, at the very least, allowed a writ of divorce. Or, if he accepted Mary's explanation, and this is God's plan and purpose, how do you say no to that? And so he's in this no-win situation. And so he does what he thinks is best. He decides to divorce her quietly. It would require two witnesses, according to the law. But he could, as opposed to divorcing her publicly, which would require stating the reason for that divorce, he could just send her off, not take her home, end the contract, end the deal, break ties. And while there might be a couple of people that would need to know what was going on, it would not need be scandalous. And so that's what he decides to do, so that Mary would not be exposed, so that her name wouldn't be dragged through the mud, so that people wouldn't look at her with shame. After a good night's sleep, Joseph was headed on a proper path. But is that the only right decision in this situation? Sometimes we human beings need divine intervention to understand not only what is right, but what is best. And so this is also a time for an angel's direction. After he had considered this, after he had reconciled his thoughts, after he had balanced the books and determined what to do, verse 20 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So as we see Joseph, he's sleeping, and an angel comes to him in a dream, and he is encouraged. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Don't be afraid from a heavenly perspective. Don't be afraid that God is going to judge you for having an unfaithful wife, because you don't. The angel relates that Mary's account is accurate. This child is, in fact, the Son of the Most High. And really, what the angel says is that, Joseph, you have a major role in the incarnation. You are necessary. You are in the prophetic line. You are a son of David. Now, Mary is also a child of David, but Joseph is a son of David. And Joseph is from Nazareth. And Joseph had to be in the census that would take him to Bethlehem because he was in the line and lineage of David. And if Mary was betrothed to anyone else, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't fit. It wouldn't match what God had been promising for generations. You're necessary because you have been chosen, and your father, and your father before that, 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 and before that, and that, and that. But I also want you to be the father of this child. There were few things that a father had to do. But the one thing that the father did in every circumstance was give that child a name. To state its nature and character as a prophecy of God. And the angel says, you have been chosen by God to give this boy a name. You have been chosen to be this child's father. You will be the first to declare that this child is the Messiah. You will be the first to declare that this child, whose name will be Jesus, Yeshua, will save his people from their sins. You are the one who will be first to know that this child is the fulfillment of the words of Isaiah in Isaiah 7:11. Jesus, born of a virgin, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. And so Joseph, showing great courage, chooses not only to do the right thing, but to do the best thing. And finally, this is a time for a couple's dedication, verses 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph showed his faith and faithfulness to her and to God by doing what he was told. He preserved Mary's honor He began by saying, I do not want to expose her. And what he does is he covers her. He says, we will immediately live together. Maybe they had planned a wedding. Maybe they had planned something. But it seems that Joseph is told by the angel that you are to take her to be your wife today. And he does, it would seem. Because by 4, 5, 6 months later, they are traveling together. They are together when they enter Bethlehem. She is there as his wife when they take the census a few months later. And it gives him the name Jesus. He does what is required as an earthly father. He raises Jesus in the character of the name that he was given by this angel. And Jesus is raised to maturity, physically and spiritually, under Joseph's care. The other thing that Joseph does is he shows the faith to trust in God for his future. The concerns that he was considering were not miraculously removed. The doubts that he might have had were not immediately rectified. In this culture, the murmuring would not have ceased simply because he was obedient. But Joseph allowed the Lord to direct that challenging path. If there's any verse that can sum up Joseph's life, it's Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it is the way of death. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And we can praise God that in Joseph's case, the Almighty broke through. Before he did what was right in his own eyes, on a path that would have led to separation, and instead turned him onto the path of life. We can all learn from this strong, silent example of Joseph. There is no account in the scripture of Joseph speaking. And yet, he must have. There is a time in each of our lives that we face what not only is right, but what is best. And we may at times be able to hear from God. Our sermon in a sentence is this: Joseph reminds us that God remembers those who walk in righteousness. God is able to do for us what he did for Joseph. He is able to give us direction when we have a time of deliberation. In this morning, in this week, in this season, it is an excellent opportunity to silence our own thoughts The ways that seem right to us. And heed the voice of God. Now, most of the time, I would hazard to guess that most of the things that we think are the right things to do are the right things to do. But occasionally, some of the right things to do are not the best things to do. And it is always wise, even if we know it is the right thing to do, to be like Joseph and to heed the word of God. He is with us. He is saving us. He is loving us. Let us rejoice in the fact that the God of heaven cares about the affairs of earth. And let us praise the one who knows what is best for us. Help us all. Men, women, children, help us all to be like Joseph, who reminds us that God remembers those who walk in righteousness. Shall we pray?